Our Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 to 53. Solomon's prayer of dedication. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward the heaven, and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heaven above or on earth beneath. Keep your covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants, who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand have fulfilled it to this day. Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, You shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me as well walk before you. Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed which you have spoken to your servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day. That your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said. My name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers towards this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, he comes and swears his oath before your altar in this house. Then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing his conduct on his own head and vindicating the righteous by rewarding him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and if they turn again to you and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again to the land that you gave to their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, if they pray towards this place, and acknowledge your name, and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, when you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and grant rain upon your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, if the enemy besieges them in the land at their gates, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and stretching out his hands towards this house, then here in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know, according to his ways. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our fathers. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country where your name is saved, where they shall hear your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays towards this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. If your people go out to battle against their enemy, by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to an enemy, so that they are carried away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near. Yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captives, saying, We have sinned and have acted perversely and wickedly. If they repent with all their mind and with all their heart in the land of their enemies, who carry carry them captive and pray to you, toward their land which you have given to their fathers, the city that you have chosen, and the house that I have built for your name. And hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions that they have committed against you. And grant them compassion in the sight of those who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your heritage, which you brought out of Egypt, from the midst of the iron furnace. Let your eyes be open to the plea of your servant, and to the plea of your people Israel, giving ear to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your heritage, as you declared through Moses your servant, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. This is the word of the Lord.
Now I'll invite Pastor Joe up to read our New Testament reading from Matthew.
And that was the name. This will read. Matthew 6, verse 5. Again, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers, standing up in synagogue and at the street corners, for everyone to see them. I tell you this, they have their reward already. But when you pray, go into a room by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is there in the secret place. And your Father who sees what is secret will reward you. In your prayers, do not go bubbling on like the heathen, who imagine that the more they say, the more like they are to be heard. Do not imitate them. Your Father knows what your needs are before you ask Him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, the name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us the wrong we have done, as we have forgiven those who have wronged us. And do not bring us to the test, but save us from the evil one. For if you forgive others the wrongs they have done, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then the wrongs you have done will not be forgiven by your Father.
Now it's my turn to be a little nervous talking about prayer with those who are champion prayers, our friends at His church. Pray many hours every week, I know, both here and in other places. And so in some ways I feel like you should be giving the sermon, but I know that's not what you wanted to do, so that's okay. But let us pray. God, as we talk to you this morning, as we talk about what it means to talk to you this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I have to admit, it's been a very long week for me this week. This happens, right? It's the ebb and flow of life and work. I'm sure you've had it. This was just a week that had a lot of meetings, a lot of reports, a lot of administrative work that needs to be done, but doesn't necessarily bring a lot of joy or excitement or peace. And there were some bright spots. I got to do lots of fun things. I got to meet with the pastoral care team, which was such a blessing. I got to meet with the youth group last night, which was always so much fun. But Friday morning, I got up and I was feeling very tired, a little bit down, fairly stressed. And I had gotten into the habit of swimming on Wednesday and Friday mornings, just for a half an hour before I come to the church. And I'll be honest, I did not want to go. I don't know about you, but when I get, you know, overworked and stressed and tired, I don't want to do exercise, right? That's the last thing on my mind. And yet I know it's good for me. And so off I went. And as I got into the pool, they had things split off. So I was sharing a lane with just one other woman, and we decided to split the lane. So rather than swimming in a circle, we each got half the lane and we went back and forth like this. And as I got into the pool and I started to swim, I started to pray, which I can't always do because often I'm paying attention to, you know, am I swimming fast enough? Is somebody else going to pass me? Do I need to pass someone? Am I in the way? Like, there's a lot of thought going into my head as I swim normally. But I had this half lane to myself. And as I swam, I started to pray. And it got me thinking, where do we pray? How do we pray? Let me ask you that question. Do you pray? Do you pray every day? Do you pray every week? Do you pray every month? Why or why not? Why do you make it a point to pray, or why do you find that you go through days where you haven't? Where is your favorite place to pray? Do you have a spot that you love to pray? This sanctuary is a beautiful place to pray. It is so quiet in this space. But you may have others. Perhaps it's your deck, or it's a room in your cottage, or it's in your car. But where is it that you like to pray? And what do you talk to God about? When you pray, what is in your mind? What is in your heart? What is it that you lift up to God? And what is it that you don't lift up to God? It's a lot of questions, a lot of things, perhaps, that are now flowing through your mind and flowing through my mind as I thought about prayer and its importance. Because here's the thing, prayer is a foundational spiritual practice, right? We're talking about spiritual practices all through Lent. I mean, I just did a series on prayer. You might argue that maybe we could skip this week. But the reality is, you can't do spiritual practices if you don't pray. There's a fairly contemporary book talking about spiritual practices that has 66 different practices in it. One third of them involve prayer in one way or another. It is our most direct way to connect with God, right? We talked about spiritual practices as something that connects us to God, deepens our relationship. There is no more direct way to talk to God than to talk to God. One of the things I'm going to encourage you about, if you haven't had a chance to see the display, if you come in through the Parkdale door, I'll encourage you to look at that, which Michelle put together so beautifully. And underneath the light switch, there are little pockets with little strips of paper. They're there for you to take. One says fast, one says pray, and give. Those are the three fundamental spiritual practices that Jesus talks about in chapter 6, this chapter that we're reading. He assumes that if you do nothing else as one of his followers, you are going to give, you are going to pray, and you are going to fast. So if you don't know how to do any of those things, there are some examples and little slips of paper out there, and I encourage you to take one, take two, take one every week. If we run out, we'll print more. That would be a wonderful problem to have. But Jesus assumes those three things are things we're going to do as his followers, that those were things his followers were already doing as faithful Jewish people. And so you may have noticed that our Old Testament reading this week was a little longer than usual. Yeah? Right? We don't normally read 30 verses all together. Raph did a wonderful job. So thank you for that. But this was Solomon's prayer of dedication to the temple. And I could have cut it short. But when we talk about prayer, I started to think, well, why do we cut it short? Why do we not want to hear the fullness of what Solomon prayed to God? Maybe this morning it's what we needed to hear. And so I left it with our full 30 verses. And I don't know if you noticed, but there were two primary themes in what he was talking about. He was talking about how wonderful God is, right? He talks about how big God is, how God is faithful to his promises. He talks about how God has been with Israel from the beginning and continues to be with him to the end. And he talks about forgiveness. And one of the lines in his prayer is, everybody sins. We all know this. If we don't know this, we're living in a world of denial. Everybody sins. But Solomon's sins that he chose were not random. He didn't just pick little things here and there. If you've read the book of Deuteronomy, the whole book is about the covenant that God makes with Moses and with his people. And in that book, you find blessings and curses, and particularly curses that will come upon Israel if they stop following God's way. And all of the sins that Solomon lists in his prayer come from those curses, or all of those actions come from those curses in Deuteronomy. As Solomon dedicates the temple, he wants to remind God, he wants to remind the people, he wants to remind himself of the agreement, of the relationship that they already have and will continue to have in the future. And so he brings these elements of the covenant, which is written in the Ark of the Covenant, which has just been brought into the Holy of Holies in this beautiful, brand new temple. He wants to talk, and he says to begin his prayer, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants. The covenant of love is a Hebrew word that we keep coming across over and over in the Old Testament. We found it in Ruth, we find it in Deuteronomy and Exodus and all these different places, and it's the word chesed, which we translate in other places as loving kindness. The loving kindness that God shows his people. The covenant of love that God makes with his people. And of course, we know we can't have love without relationship. And we can't have relationship without communication. I don't know if you've ever tried spending time or maintaining a relationship with someone if you never talk to them, if you never communicate in any way. It doesn't work. That's not a relationship anymore. It's two people who happen to live in the same place or the same planet, same country, depending on where they are. We have to communicate to maintain a relationship. And that's why prayer becomes so essential. And just like Solomon knew and God knew from the beginning that sin breaks that relationship, right? It's sin when we do this to our friends and to our family members too, right? When we push their buttons, when we do something that we know is going to cause them harm. Sometimes when we do something we don't know is going to make them upset, and yet it does. It causes cracks. It causes tears. It breaks. But Solomon knew it was important not to lose that. And so as he prays, he says, you know, we're going to mess up. We're going to screw up. But when we realize we've messed up, and we come back, and we ask you for forgiveness, and we pray with all our hearts, when we come and we talk to you, God, please forgive us. Please don't let that be the end. Please don't let our inevitable failures ruin everything. And we know that God says okay. He says okay again and again and again through the Old Testament. And ultimately and finally and forever, he says okay through Jesus. He says these little bits and pieces, they've worked for now, but we need a permanent solution. And Jesus is that solution. Jesus is the final act of forgiveness that God ever needs to make. And Jesus also talks about prayer. And of course, we say that prayer every week. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. It's a template for how we can pray. If anyone here feels like they don't know how to pray, the disciples felt the same. In Luke, that's how the prayer is introduced, right? The disciples see Jesus spending all this time in prayer, and they say to him, please teach us. He says, when you pray, this is how. Not that these words are the only things we can say, but that they give us a blueprint, a template for how we can pray. But do you notice that what he focused on at the end was that same piece that Solomon did? Forgiveness. He adds a little extra explanation to the prayer. I guess he felt everything else was pretty self-explanatory. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our needs. Yep, we get that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We get that. But forgive our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as we like to say. What does that mean? Why do we have to pray that way? And so Jesus adds this little postscript. Because if you don't, if you forgive those who wrong you, God will forgive you. And he says, if you don't, God won't. Which sounds a little scary. And I've talked about this before. And I think it has to do with how we open our hearts. Because if we don't believe other people deserve forgiveness, how can we believe that Jesus will forgive us? That we're worth forgiveness. Or we think we're so high we don't need forgiveness. But either way, if our hearts aren't open to it, how do we receive it? And then, of course, Jesus talks about the same thing he did with fasting, right? Don't pray to be heard. Don't pray to be seen. It doesn't mean we can't pray together. But why are we praying? Am I praying because I hope my words sound impressive so that you'll think I'm a good preacher? Or do I pray because I earnestly believe that God is listening and that I want what I pray with my heart? Why do we pray together and on our own? This is the thing. We have all the tools we need to be good prayers. Every one of us. Especially today when we have access to Bibles. We have physical Bibles, we have online Bibles, we have Bible apps. Any way you like to consume your written media, we have Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, I will give you a Bible. I have Bibles just for that purpose. If you need a Bible in a language other than English, I will get you a Bible. That is not the barrier. The barrier is our hearts. Our willingness to go and do it. Turn to any psalm. Any psalm. We have 150 of them. You can turn every one of them into a prayer. Most of them are prayers. Don't know what to say? The Lord's Prayer is there. But I think there are some things that keep us from prayer. I think sometimes skepticism keeps us from prayer. And it doesn't really work. God's not really listening. He doesn't care what I have to say. Why should I bother? Look, I prayed once. I didn't get what I wanted. See, it doesn't work. And so we pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. God, you're the one who can do it. I believe that you can do it, that your will be done on this earth. That's our answer to skepticism. Sometimes we don't pray because of fear. We're worried we don't have the right words. We're worried we're not good enough. We're worried that we're going to ask for something and God's going to be like, I don't bother with you. Or we're going to get a different answer than we want to hear. And so we pray, forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. I'm tempted to not disbelieve you, God. I'm tempted to go my own way. I'm tempted not to listen for your answer. But God, lead me not into temptation. Sometimes it's preoccupation. The day's just too busy. There's too much to do. I forget to pray. I've got all these things to take care of in my life, and prayer just isn't a priority. And yet God says we can pray about the daily things. Give us today our daily bread. We can pray while we swim. We can pray while we walk, while we drive. Just don't close your eyes. We can pray while we do data entry, while we, whatever it is we're doing in our day, we can pray. That's the beauty of it. God can take it all. God wants to hear it all. And it's not fancy. It doesn't have to be particular language. You can even swear at God if you want. As long as you don't give up, as long as you keep going, as long as you do it regularly, that's what spiritual practices are about. So when I was praying, when I was swimming on Friday, I started to feel this sense of, what is it that God's trying to teach me about this as I do this? And swimming became a bit of an analogy for me for following God. Tell me what you think of this. One is the importance of breathing. As I was swimming along, I got a little bit distracted by something, and I did a flip turn, because they're the funnest part of swimming, and got water all the way up my nose and through my head. I forgot to breathe. I forgot to breathe out. And of course, if I go too long without taking a breath, I start to feel full. I have to breathe. And so often, we're living a life where we haven't left a space to breathe. We're so busy doing, we forget to be. But that's when God can fill us back up and give us the energy for what's coming next. And we need a good rhythm in life of work and rest, whatever that looks like. And that's the key. My rhythm is not the same as Dorothy's. It's not the same as Shirley's. It's not the same as anyone else's. And if I look at them and say, well, they can do X, Y, and Z, why can't I? It happens when I'm swimming with other people. I feel self-conscious that I'm not swimming fast enough, or maybe I'm swimming too fast, or am I in the right place? Should I be in a different lane? And I get so caught up in what everyone else is doing and what everyone else might be thinking of me that I forget just to be. But God doesn't call me to be Dorothy or Shirley or Dan. He calls me to be Meg. And I have to find that rhythm that works for me in my relationship and walk with God. And you have to watch where you're going. You can't just put on blinders and pretend you don't see what's coming. At the very end of my swim, the lady who I was sharing the lane with got out, and a new lady got in. A lady who didn't know that we were splitting the lane 50-50. And she starts following me, and I turn around, and I start swimming back, and I'm off in my own world, talking to God, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's a body, and I swerve out of the way. We got to watch where we're going. God has a path for us. He's laid it out, sometimes only one or two steps ahead. But if we're listening, if we're paying attention, we can see where God is and we can follow. Let us pray. Let us talk to God. God, you are so good. You trust us with so much. You love us so much. Help us, God, if we don't have good practices of prayer to get better at it, to find those little moments where we can breathe, where we can talk to you. Help us to be more comfortable sharing everything and anything with you. Thank you that you're always ready to listen. In Jesus' name.